In the previous segment, we explored how the Great Whore of Babylon is the Christian or so-called Christian church, which has aligned herself with the state and its controllers, Christians who have played the whore against their God and taken up with other gods, the gods of Babylon. We also saw how, while the beast is Babylon, the whore is essentially a part of Babylon, tied up with it to the point that she even bears its name, even though her lovers hate her and eventually destroy her. And we also saw how the mark of the beast is exactly what we see tattooed across the great whore's forehead. Now, lately there has been a lot of talk about coming out of Babylon, and it's led to some pretty far-out conclusions. Some people have gone so far as to flee America and other Western nations and move to Central America and such like. Others have gone through all sorts of legal contortions to escape social security numbers, driver's licenses, taxes, so forth, and they think that's what coming out of Babylon entails. But notice that when the call goes out to come out of Babylon, it's given in context of the great whore, which we've identified as the whore church. Today, that's state-sponsored, state-supporting Judeo-Christian churches. These churches teach that God's law is done away, that Christ's kingdom is exclusively in heaven, that every command of the state must be obeyed, that the Zionist blessing of the Jews is the command of God, and that good Christians support the Constitution and the thuggery it created. Whenever God's people were in captivity under Egypt or the Babylonian beast, they never left by their own means. They had to wait until God delivered them. And that's because ultimately, they didn't have a choice in their captivity. They were under Babylon because God had decreed it as punishment due to their rebellion and their desire for an earthly king like all the heathen nations around them. There's no escaping divine punishment by your own means. Period. The only way out is repentance. And even those people who claim they've escaped Babylon today are still very much under it. They're still subject to its economic system. They're still stuck in its legal system. They still have to keep their heads down so the Babylonian powers that be don't come down on them. They haven't really escaped, even if they've deluded themselves into thinking so. They've just made things more difficult for themselves. They have some sort of martyr complex in a lot of cases. No, the seven-headed, ten-horned Babylonian beast is over us because of the decree of God in response to our rebellion. We'll be free of that when he makes it happen, not when we make it happen. However, when it comes to the great whore, the harlot church that has allied herself with Babylon, we definitely have the power to come out of her. Being a part of her is most definitely a choice, just as idolatry has always been a choice. So let's read verses 4 and 5 of Revelation 18. I heard another voice from heaven saying, "Come out of her, my people, so that you will not participate in her sins and receive of her plagues. For her sins have piled up as high as heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities." This is the whore church. When her cup of iniquity is filled, God will use the very kings of the earth with whom she played the whore to destroy her. Remember, God has consistently used the term harlot or whore to describe his people when they've gone off to serve other gods. And when she does this, she becomes one flesh with her lovers, as we read in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 12 through 17. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take away the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? May it never be. Or do you not know that the one who joins himself to a prostitute is one body with her? For he says, the two shall become one flesh. But the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. So when those who claim the name of Christ go off and play the whore with Babylon, they become one flesh with her. Hence why, even though the beast is indeed Babylon, the whore is also called Babylon. She's taken on its name. She's one flesh with it. Those who remain faithful to Christ are one flesh with him. Those who have come out of Babylon and died to self, been buried with Christ in baptism and raised to walk in newness of life, have come out of the whore of Babylon. So coming out of Babylon is really simple. It doesn't require any legal shenanigans or any convoluted nonsense. All you got to do is repent of your involvement and association with those whore state-sponsored Zionist churches, repent of your association and support of and blind following of the beast of Babylon, be washed in the blood of Christ, and follow him. In Acts 2, when the people asked what they should do to escape the wrath of God for their sin, Peter didn't tell him to challenge Caesar in his own courts. He didn't tell him to find some way in the Roman legal system to declare independence from Rome. He said in verse 38, repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The call to come out of Babylon in Revelation 18, verse 4 says, so that you will not participate in her sins and receive of her plagues. And 1 John 1, verse 7 says, if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin. I know some might say, well, that's not enough. You also have to lose your social security number. You have to lose your bank account. You have to lose your driver's license. You have to lose your credit cards, your vehicle registration, blah, blah, blah. All I have to say to all that is, since when is the blood of Christ not enough to deliver you? All those things you're talking about are the signs of the bondage God has placed us under because of our rebellion, and those will be lifted in his own time. God calls us to come out of the whore church. He calls us to lose our association with those who falsely claim to be God's people, but are in reality playing the harlot with the kings of the earth. He doesn't call us to escape the duly earned punishment for our idolatry by our own means. You can't rely on the arm of man, your own abilities and powers to deliver you. God says in Jeremiah 17, verses 5 through 8, that people who think that way are accursed. The people who try to wriggle their own way out of captivity usually end up entrenching themselves even further into Babylon's so-called laws and its court system. Rather ironic, wouldn't you say? So much for coming out of Babylon. And where, may I ask, is the biblical precedent for this kind of solution? I'll save you the trouble of looking. It isn't there. So no, if you want to come out of the whore of Babylon, you need to repent of your idolatry and turn 100% to Jesus Christ. You need to leave your Judeo-Christian, Zionist, statist harlotry, commit to his kingdom, and pursue truth and righteousness. The blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. There is power in the blood, not in the flesh. I'm sure a lot of people listening to this won't like it at all, and that's fine. I'm not here to make friends. If you aren't happy with the idea of utter reliance on God to deliver us from the beast of Babylon, then you need to ask yourself who your faith is really in. If you're content in your 501c3 church and try to simultaneously stand for the flag and kneel for the cross, and you're dedicated to your Zionist pastored, you're trying to ride two horses, and you'll ultimately fall. You have to pick a side, and you have to stand on it. In the next segment, we'll discuss how men of God have historically conducted themselves while in Babylon and Egypt.